Our second reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 24 to 30 and 36 to 43. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. And while everyone was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slave said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." May the Lord bless this reading and our understanding of it this morning. Well, our scripture message this week is another message or another parable about using agricultural imagery to make a theological point. Last week, if you were here, you'll remember we talked about the parable of the sower, casting the seeds randomly and generously, some falling in rocky soil, some in thorns, and some on the hard-packed path, but some fell into good soil. And while this parable might be interpreted as a call to examine the condition or the soil of our own hearts, I suggested that maybe it wasn't about the soil at all. Perhaps the parable of the sower is indeed about the sower and the incredible generosity and abundance of God's love, and how it is cast about anywhere and everywhere, regardless of the type of soil. And it was only after church that Terry and I went out to walk the dog, and we walked up by the garage out here, and we happened to notice a flower sprouting up out of the stones in the parking lot, this gravel parking lot back here, and Terry took a picture of it. And if you look at the front of your bulletins, that's the picture. And Terry said, "Well, there's a good sermon illustration." I said, "Yeah, it's about an hour and a half too late." So I said, "We'll use it next week." Well, that beautiful sunflower somehow took root among the weeds and the stones. And for me, it was just one more reminder that the seeds of God's grace and God's love can take root in seemingly the most hostile of places. And that includes our own hearts. Well, this week's parable takes a different part of our faith. Here, the farmer sows the good wheat seeds, but someone or something comes along and sows bad seed in and amongst the good, causing the field to be infected with weeds. Historians speculate that the type of weed that was used was called darnel. Darnel, it's weeds, and the darnel is a weed that resembles wheat plants so closely that you can't tell them apart when they're young immature plants. And that made it just about impossible for the farmers to try to take that darnel out of their wheat fields. And Jesus, of course, in his explanation to the disciples, identifies the sower of that weed as the devil himself. The evil in this world is the source. Well, I've got to tell you, I struggle with weeds. My good friend Ardrana knows. We both struggle with weeds, don't we, Ardrana? Some of those some of these weeds will masquerade as beautiful plants. But if you leave them unattended, they will take over and choke out and kill just about everything around it. Those of you that park out on that gravel lot know that you'll see some of the flowers I planted in the spring as you come in. And they're coming along, but I still have a heck of a time keeping these intrusive wild vines from choking them out. And then if someone else came along and planted more weeds in the flower beds, I might get pretty upset about that. So I think the farmer in our parable had every right to get upset. And I know my first inclination would have been to go into the fields and start pulling weeds. And in the process, I would have ruined much of the wheat as well. But you know, after all this discussion of wheat and weeds, I don't think that's what this parable is about. Matthew writes about Jesus' explanation to the disciples, where he describes the wheat field as a metaphor for the whole world, and the way good and evil coexist in the world, side by side, each affecting and influencing the other. And like most of Matthew's writings, it all seems very clean and clear-cut. We can either identify with the good seed, the righteous people, or with the bad seed, the people that are condemned to destruction. I wonder, did you know that of all the gospel writers, Matthew is the only one that talks about the end of the world? You can check me on this. Go and read all four gospels this afternoon. And if you find a reference to the end of the world in one of the others, call me. But I'm pretty certain the only one that talks about that is Matthew. He mentions a furnace of fire. He's the only one to do that. He mentions weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's in today's scripture. And Matthew is the only one that presents the parables of the foolish young virgins, the division of sheep from the goats, or today's parable about the wheat and the weeds. And I have great respect, and I've learned a lot from these parables. But I suspect Matthew was very much like some of my scientist and engineering friends, some of the very people Michelle mentioned, who like to have everything very clearly proven and explained, black and white, good and bad. People are either faithful or they're wicked. They're either blessed or they're cursed. I too used to think that this was the way things were in the world. But life has a way of pitching us curveballs. And as time passed, I could see and experience things that didn't fit very well into this sacrosanct belief system that I'd developed. And over time, my world became very much less black and white and more various shades of gray. Don't take me wrong. I mean, I could hear something and see something and I could twist it. I could twist it around in my mind and convince myself that what I was seeing was not a violation of my belief structure. But I think deep down in my heart, I knew. You see, things happen. People we know get sick and die. Some take their own lives. Accidents happen. My stance on abortion was challenged when a family member was involved in something terrible and unexpected. My stance on divorce was challenged when it happened to someone I love and respect. My stance on the death penalty was challenged when I went into the prison and visited men on death row. My ideas about racism, poverty, homosexuality, and immigration, all of it was just picked up and thrown to the ground, where it smashed into 1,000 pieces. Because it's very easy to have a strong opinion on something that has never touched you. It's very easy to criticize a nameless and faceless group of people that you've never met or dealt with. But what we find is when we get out of our comfortable places and go and meet these people and hear these stories, we cannot help but be changed by it. So over time, my world has evolved. It's now one of various colors and shades. And it's where things sometimes settle, and I get confident that I believe this. But then more often, things evolve over time. And as I open my heart and my mind to understand and to empathize with others, I find that the world changes. My view of the world changes. And I think this is what I took from this reading of the wheat and the weeds today. The farmer's servants are real eager to please. Let us go and gather up the weeds and get rid of them. We don't want those weeds cluttering up our fields. But the wise farmer knows better. As soon as they start pulling the weeds, or what they think is a weed, they'll just take and ruin the good wheat. It sure is hard to tell the good from the bad when both look and behave in the same fashion. It sure is hard to tell the good from the bad when both look and behave in the same fashion. We may think we're smart people. Certainly, we think we know how to read and interpret the Bible. And there are a lot of people out there ready to tell you what the Bible means, who it applies to, and who should and shouldn't be included in the kingdom of God. But the more I read and the more I study, the less confident I become. The more I learn about how God operates in this world, the less confident I become that I should be the one judging. And I certainly shouldn't be trying to judge who is and who isn't good enough to be included in God's kingdom. Because the farmer is right. We're not really qualified to judge what is good and bad in that field. And besides, that's not what we're supposed to be doing anyway. Let's go back to the earlier discussion of Matthew's take on the world, how everything is categorized as good or bad, blessed or cursed. And in Jesus' explanation, he described the field as the world and the sower as the Son of Man. And where did Jesus say that we were in that parable? Where are the children of God? We are the seeds. We're either the children of the kingdom or the children of the evil one. And as seeds, that really leaves us with just one question. Are we good seeds or are we bad seeds? All of us may like to think of ourselves as good seed, but how can we be so sure? Aren't all of us a mix of good and bad? Bad words, bad behaviors, bad thoughts, at least some of the time. Even the Apostle Paul talked about the war raging within himself between his physical and spiritual parts. And it seems sometimes like no matter what we do, those good and bad plants reveal themselves in our character. The good and the bad, they grow together and they become so intertwined that sometimes we're not even sure what we are. And when I think about it this way, I become very grateful for the farmer's patience, willing to let the good and the bad grow together for a while before making a final separation. And perhaps this story is meant to teach us something about the reality of living in this world and what exactly we should be spending our time and our energy on in our service to God. Perhaps we should concern ourselves a bit less with rooting out the perceived evil that we see in others and care a bit more about the evil that resides within us. But there's good news. God has given us the tools to do just that. Michelle talked about how God was with her during some of the difficult times in her lives, and her faith was powerful in that witness. But you know, you're the feet and the hands of that faith, that God uses each of you to minister to one another and to this world. We are the children of God. And the more we nurture our spirits in truth, the truth of God's word, the more time we spend in study, prayer, spiritual meditation, the more likely we will be to recognize and expose those parts of us that need to be weeded out. Because in God's garden, weeds are allowed to grow alongside the wheat. And by God's grace, there is still time for us. God is patient with our well-meaning but misguided efforts to be his people. There will be no premature sorting out. There'll be no purge or purification until the final judgment of God. And God gives us time to grow and to learn from each other, and then eventually to thrive as Jesus' cherished and fruitful disciples. As Jesus said, let anyone with ears listen. Let us pray. Lord God, we know that our hearts are a mix of good and bad. And it's so difficult sometimes to read these verses and perhaps recognize within ourselves things that we need to root out. But we pray, Lord, that you will help us in that. And through your word, through the conviction of our brothers and sisters, through the strength of our experience and our faith, Lord, that we might become disciples, more fruitful disciples of you. Lord, I'm so thankful for each one here today, for our guests and for our attenders, regular members, and all those that come to hear your word. And I pray, Lord, that a part of this message may have touched their hearts this day. I pray these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.